Thanks for tuning in to the World XP Podcast. If you're enjoying the content, please drop a sub, drop a like, and let us know your thoughts below in the comments. Also, please consider supporting our podcast via the link below. It really helps us out.
Terrence, welcome back to the World XP Podcast. How you doing, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing good. Currently in recovery mode from my 10K this morning. Definitely kind of felt it today. It's my second one since October of last year, so we're kind of feeling it today, but I'll take the two free beers I got after.
that's as good as a medal, you know? Like, you can, you have a medal, you just stick it on the, like, dresser somewhere, hanging somewhere, but the beers, at least you get to enjoy those.
Yeah, definitely.
So, obviously you were on the show before, I think a year or two ago, something like that. But why don't you do a quick recap of who you are and what you do, and then we'll kind of, as everyone knows, get into the question from the previous guest, and then we'll just jump right into it.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, you know, glad to be back for round two. My name is Terrence Diggs. I'm a designer and entrepreneur currently based out of Baltimore, currently founder and creative director of a lifestyle and sportswear brand called D17. And kind of jumping in now, my kind of content creation bag, as well as being able to kind of be a running influencer in a way. So, you know, I'm switching so many hats now. It's not just one. Now it's just like, hey, what can we do? And I can wear hats now, because I think last time I had an afro and I chopped it off.
Yeah. I think you did. Yeah. So the question from previous guest, I really like this one. Said, without saying what you do, who are you as a person?
I would definitely say somebody that enjoys creativity, perseverance, I guess you could say philanthropy, kind of like all peace. Just somebody that really enjoys making product and starting events and just having fun.
Fair enough. That's a good answer. Okay, so also, last time you were on, D17 was kind of it was going, but you still had a full-time real job. And now you've made the jump and you're all in on D17. So what's that transition been like for you? What was the catalyst for you to pull the trigger and say, you know what, I'm going to fully jump in on this, like, maybe I don't have insurance for a little bit or whatever. What was the jump, like the catalyst for the jump for you, and kind of walk us through the thought process, like, leading up to that? So you're like, oh, maybe I'm ready. Nah, maybe I need to get something else in place. Maybe I'm ready now. Ooh, something else. Now I'm ready. Yeah. Like, how was that for you?
Yeah, so definitely I feel like a lot of people, I was affected by job changes, I guess you could say. And kind of was put into a position where it was like, okay, you know, it happens to everybody, nothing to feel bad about. Like, I know it's a lot of that happening and going on to a lot of people. But it definitely, when I was walking out the building and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, there's no plan. Is what kind of comes next? And I kind of was sitting in the car and I was like, you know what? I definitely could take this thing a little further. You know, now I have all the time in the world. So it definitely kind of pushed to be like, okay, let me sit down and really look at everything kind of like as a full picture, versus just like, okay, today I'm going to do this. You know, 2 weeks ago by, okay, today I'm going to do this. Now it's kind of like, okay, how can I really kind of like tighten up the machine that it, what it already is. And it definitely kind of opens your eyes. So it's like, oh crap. Okay. I really have to kind of be in not necessarily like a survival mode, but you have to be like, okay, I really have to keep this thing live now. You know, it's not just like, okay, well, you know, I can just do whatever. Now it's like, okay, this has a bill, this has a bill, this needs to be made, this work needs to be done. It's like, okay, and now I have all the time in the world. And it's like, how am I going to balance that now? Which I think I'm still getting used to, but, you know, here we are. I think I'm about 7-8 months ish in. I've just been going all up and down the East Coast doing the running stuff, and here we are on a lovely Sunday morning.
Yeah. Why don't you actually, let's take a quick step back, because I think if people didn't listen to the first episode, I think a description or like a elevator pitch of what D17 is before we start going into all the details and whatever, and
Yeah,
people are like, I
geez.
don't even know what it is. Yeah.
I feel like I just kind of skipped over it. They're probably like, what the heck is that?
So the full
Yeah.
details, of course, are in the first episode that you were on. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that, definitely go do that. But yeah, quick sales pitch. Go ahead.
Definitely. D17 is a lifestyle and sportswear brand. We're located in the state of Maryland. We live by three things: athletics, design, and community. Being able to create opportunity through sports. So whether that is running, soccer sponsorships, custom pickleball paddles, whatever it could be, or being able to kind of find a way to repurpose athletic equipment for people that, might have trouble kind of getting it. And going from there with a lot of local partners and organizations to, make sports more fun and accessible for everybody, not just adults, but, youth athletes too.
Yeah, 100%. So talk a little bit about the scalability, right? 'Cause you have the ideas, you've got some of the soccer sponsorships, you've got the running stuff, you've got your previous work with ASICS and and all this stuff. But at a certain point, if you're doing a side hustle, sometimes it can struggle to scale to full-time sustainability for you like for the person financially. How did that work itself out for you in terms of you're like, okay, I have this time now that isn't filled by my job. I've made the leap now because by necessity. How am I going to scale this to meet rent payments and meet all this other stuff rather than like, oh, this is an extra supplement to my income, but now it's like this is all of my income. Like, how did you scale that?
Yeah, I definitely think I feel like for anybody who's a lot of like super downsizing, you know what I mean? Like not like super downsizing, like, I gotta do start over, but more or less like, okay, let's kind of see where I can kind of cut the avenues on things. Like maybe I don't need, PlayStation Plus for 3 months, maybe I don't need, XYZ things that I'm buying, kind of seeing it from there. And then I would say from the business side, it's really like, I don't even know how to explain it sometimes. Like you have to move fast, but you have to move very efficiently. Like you can't just be like, oh, well, I'm gonna do this. And then if it doesn't work, cool, whatever. It's more or less like, okay, I have to be really calculated to where things are gonna go and how things are gonna align with the brand in general. And it just takes so many. You get so overwhelmed sometimes. It's like, I have all the time in the world again. Maybe I could take a quick 30-minute nap. And if I get up 2 hours later, like, who's going to care? It's kind of like really betting on yourself. And then also making sure that you have to keep betting on yourself because it's going to be days where it's like, man, why am I doing this? What did I get myself into? And then some days it's like, man, I'm really glad that I can pursue this in the way that I really wanted to. And kind of get the real full effect of what it is, in this current phase that it's in.
You mentioned two things that I want to dive into a little bit specifically. One is the how efficient you have to move, and then the other is the betting on yourself and the days where you like don't really want to do it. How do you get yourself through those days? What's the mindset? Because we all have them, right? Whether you're working at a normal job or you're a coach or you're in college or school or whatever, everyone's got the days where it's like, I don't want to study for the test. I don't want to do this extra report. I don't want to make this phone call, whatever the case maybe is. But when it's was you is it you putting pressure on yourself, or like what is it? Is like, do you have in the back of your head, if I don't do this, one, no one else is gonna do it, but two, I don't have dinner tomorrow, or what is it? Like, what is it that keeps you going through those days?
I think honestly, it would be not only just kind of being a little bit more easier on myself, like taking those lot smaller wins as they come. But I think as well, it's honestly just kind of sticking with the passion in general. Like there's a lot of things that I've been trying to like either get planned or want to see or want to be a part of that I'm like, okay, like there's really nothing stopping me from doing this. And it can be a way that can generate, revenue or, increasing my own budgets now on things, that it kind of is like, okay, you know, like when I started doing the running stuff, it wasn't even in my mind. So now it's like, okay, now I can, you know, make the apparel, wear it in the races that I'm going to. I have the ability to do more races. So the more races I do, the more people I see, the more people I meet. Then it's like, okay, I can take the content from the race and post it on social media, which then is kind of like I'm doing the marketing. I'm also doing like in person. I'm also kind of like doing that. And it's a way that I can still get my workout and stuff in, as well as I'm networking and making those connections. Like, it's kind of like, do I want to be able to just be like, okay, I'm just going to put my face down and knock things out? Or it's like, okay, let me drive to North Carolina to go meet with somebody, because I never could do that before. Or let me take a, you know, flight to Los Angeles to do a pop-up. You know, let's really kind of see what we can do and what kind of comes in. Then it's like, okay, this work, this work, this work. These didn't scrap them. Okay, this work, this work. Now I'm kind of seeing cash flow. And then it's like, okay, now I don't have to worry about, you know, certain things. And it's like, okay, like I said, maybe I don't need Apple Music. You know, I don't need six pairs of new shoes this month. You know, it's like, okay, now I'm working super lean on one, keeping the passion alive, and two, making sure that I can eat.
Yeah, 100%. So you mentioned the marketing plus you get your workout in. To me, that kind of goes back to the efficiency point. But I wanted to add one thing. I was talking to somebody the other day, who was asking me how I like keep going, and it's or and kind of what I mentioned was some days you just kind of have to do it, and there and when nobody's making you do it, and you can have the thought of, I don't have to do this extra thing today. Let me just, whether it's your diet, I'll just get a cheese meal, or I'll have an extra drink or whatever, or I won't go to the gym today. And those start to string together. But if you start to string together, like, I don't want to go to the gym right now, but you make yourself go, and even if it's not the best workout, when you start to string those together, the momentum starts to just, it becomes habit of like, you have control over what you need to be doing, and so it kind of builds the momentum that way. And like, you build up a bunch of those, and it's like then the snowball starts to roll. But to go back to the efficiency point, at least the way that I view it, I guess, is I have like a framework of processes in place in how I go about things, right? There's certain things that they're like built-in processes that help me knock out multiple things at a time, like, or just like prioritization and time management to be super lean with your time and to be able to do more than one thing at a time. So for you doing a race, you get your workout and you do your marketing at the same time. How much of that is trial and error versus like the first time you did a race with the D17 gear, did you have that thought, and then, or was it kind of by accident, and then you realize somebody came up to you and you're like, oh, I'm running my race anyways, and I just have my D17 gear laying around, and then somebody comes up to you and like, oh, it's D17, and then the light bulb clicked, or was it all like purposeful, or how much of it was trial and error? How much of it is you putting in these processes that, like, for you?
So I think it all is very purposeful, but the trial and error kind of comes in. It's like, where do I think is the best opportunity for me to kind of do that, you know, part? Like you said, either it's like, hey, I'm just gonna wear this and do this race. It's like, huh, maybe it worked. Or it's like, okay, nah, we're all gonna wear this, we're all gonna do this, we're all gonna do this. Like, I've done that before, like definitely been like, I don't know. Like, even today, I was like, do I want to wear the Run Club shirt? Like, I don't know, I don't want to be like that guy, you know, whatever. But it also is like, okay, yeah, we are putting things in this area. And then it's like, okay, once I get to that first trial and error, it's like, okay, now I kind of know. Now I've got the blueprint. All I needed was that one look to kind of see what worked. And now really I really just wear like the same outfit almost every time. And I've gotten a couple of people come up to me and they're like, I've definitely seen that before. Literally, no, it probably was me like 6 months ago. But It definitely does help to just kind of, one, like I said, not feel bad about it, but two, it's like, okay, now I know if it worked in this area, I can do it over here. I can do it at this race. I can do it at this race. But now it's like almost second effort now. It's like, okay, now I know who to find, who to talk to, and then kind of go from there. But it's also like the race too. It's like, am I gonna do well? Do I really want to talk to people after this thing? Don't want to go home. It's a lot. It's a lot. What to wear, color is just so much. But I think, like I said, most of it was definitely very purposeful because I wanted like people to know I'm there. But then it's also like, like the follow-ups that come to is where the trial and error, I think, for me kind of came in.
What are some of the processes that you put into place, or what are some of the things that you've been able to shave time off, whether it's setting up a pop-up or narrowing down the people that you really need to talk to, who control the purse strings, for lack of a better word? Like when you're doing community outreach, you're like, oh, I actually know that the director of this isn't really super involved, but the like deputy director, I don't even know if that's a thing. Sure. Like they're the ones that really could like do that for me. Like how do you go about finding, like, if you were giving advice to people, or you're like, hey, these are the things that I did that didn't work, and this is how I figured out how it worked. Like what are some things in that sort of realm for, I don't even know what else you've tried. Because you've done so many things. You're like, you've
I've
got
done
your
a lot.
fingers in so many pots. You got soccer, you got the running, you got like pickleball stuff, like you mentioned. You've got community outreach, you've got the design piece, you've got the merchandising and the production piece. Like, talk through those sorts of things, like the efficiency pieces and kind of how you went about figuring out all that stuff out.
Yeah, I know to start, I'm a big notes guy on my phone. Like that usually kind of helps me because one of my biggest problems before, like especially if you're like super creative, everything's going like this in your brain and stuff like that. And it's hard to like really kind of like, okay, this, and this can come. The other ones can kind of do their own thing. Being able to kind of line up, at least in my mind, it's always like what I want to do, what I should do, and then like what needs to be done. That's how I break it down. Because like I said, a lot of stuff when it comes to like, okay, I want to do this. Should I be doing it? And then say, okay, maybe I can put it off. Because like I know recently we just released three new hoodies. It was kind of on the fence for me because it was a restock of a hoodie from like 4 years ago. So I just got so much reception on it. I was like, okay, do I really need to do this? Does it need to be done? Because I'm getting so much, consumer interest. It's like, do I want to put that off? Do I want to, be able to capitalize on it? Because it's like, okay, well, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. This needs to be done. Like you mentioned, there's so many pieces to it that it's like, okay, let's make sure that if it's going to be done, one, it's done correctly. Like you said, who do I need to talk to? If it's a photographer or a videographer, like working with them. Like I know for me, I always make sure I send like mood boards and examples that they can look at before we get into it. Where to go? What's the compensation? Are we going to go to lunch afterwards? So they have a better peace of mind, and I have a peace of mind to kind of clean that up because that's obviously a process. And then getting stuff on the website too. Like, okay, what's taking me so long to get it up? And I'll kind of leak this here, I guess. The pictures on the website, like when you click on the products and stuff, a lot of people are asking, they're like, man, this is really good photography. Like, where did you take the studio at or whatever? And I usually tell them like, yeah, I shot it here. Honestly, I shot them in my basement with a like a sheet. Obviously like a clean sheet and just line them all. I took them with my phone and people are like, there's no way. I'm like, yeah, I literally just, all right, I have to get this out. I can't at this point. It's like, okay, like if I get work with a photographer, it's going to take another 2 weeks and XYZ. It's like, this has to go now. And then always making sure I go back in my notes app and start checking stuff off. Cause like me, I'm a real mental checker. And then honestly, I just lose all focus and attention. Like I'm one of those people that always forgets to lock the door when you leave the house because I mentally feel the door closing, but I forget to do the locking because sometimes I'll lock it before, then close it. So it's like, okay, let's kind of get into the habit to like lock, then close, lock, then close, lock, then close. And then it kind of cleans up that part. And then so I don't ramble for 20 hours. The last thing definitely is fixing my sleep schedule. Like I think before, obviously get up, go to work, stuff like that. But once you're given all the free time in the world, which is not really all the free time in the world, but man, sleeping in for like that first week is kind of crazy. But then it's like, okay, I'm on vacation. Then once you get to like week 10, it's like, okay, this is kind of messing me up because instead of me getting up at 7:30 every day and then working, then coming home, working maybe 7 to 10 p.m., it's kind of like I can't wake up at 11:30 and then try to work to like 6:30 and then get back on and get off and get back on. It's like those mental things too, not just like tasks, but like fixing my own habits myself. It's that was the hardest battle. I still some days I'm just like, man, 10:30 looking real good. But it's like, I can't, if I'm doing outreach and stuff, I can't let people get emails from me randomly at Friday at like 8 o'clock just because I'm up. And obviously they're not. So I have to keep myself in that position. Like, hey, this is low key my job now. It's not a side hustle anymore. And when people ask me like, oh, like when are you going to get a new job? I'm like, I
Never.
kind of have one, you know, I'm still in my own vocabulary, I'm still accepting it. Like I'm still kind of being like, okay, this is what we're doing right now, and we're going full force. You introduce people or wherever I go, I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. I make clothes, I make content, and I make cool stuff, and I run. So there's that.
I want the fixing your own habits piece is something that always interests me, right? I never get tired of talking about this with anyone. Like there's certain subjects that once I talk with enough people about it, I'm like, all right, I kind of get it. It's like that's fine. But people fixing their own habits, everyone's got their own way of doing it, and it's always fascinating to me because you have to kind of like really look at yourself in the mirror and be like, that part of me is not so great. And like doing that to yourself is not the easiest thing in the world. But if you've got the kind of maybe you're in, let's say you're in survival mode, or you've got the discipline or the drive or the kind of mind, the growth mindset type situation, then it becomes slightly easier. But really changing a habit is not easy at all to do. So walk us through, like, if you want to give it an example, that's cool. But walk us through like how you identified it, and then like had the conversation with yourself that it needed to change, and then the mechanisms that you put in place to like make sure that you made the change, because nobody else is making you make that change, right? You don't got a job anymore. It's like, oh, we're gonna fire you if your performance is not good. It's like it's only you, like you're making yourself do it, and that can be super difficult, because I think somebody said, you're like speaking to you like you're your own worst employee, and you're an even worse boss, like of yourself.
Oh, geez, that's funny. I think definitely the example, like I'll kind of go back. The example like that really stuck out the most for me was my sleep schedule. And I wouldn't say social life, but I would say like self-care,
Sure.
like that whole kind of triad, like being able, like I know me, I'm a prime sleep-inner. Like anything before like 9:30, my brain is not on. Like I remember like anytime I would, go to work, I'm just like, please do not make any meeting for me before 9:30 because I will not mentally be here. So then it's like, okay, now, if I get up at like 10:45, 11, I don't have to send an email to nobody. I don't have to, take time off because I came in late. I'm not going to get a warning, meeting, something like that. Like I have to do this myself. Like the warning is to me, like, you have to get up, you have to do this, you have to do this. Being able to kind of do that, because it, like I said before, it helped efficiently make my day longer for one and better. So like now I'm kind of like, okay, if I can get up by at least 8:30, I have, you know, I can get breakfast. Let's actually grocery shop and go get breakfast so I can either cook it or prep it, not waking up, rolling out of bed, Uber eating, you know, a bagel, and then, you know, just being like, yeah, who cares? I'm on vacation. Being able to kind of piece that down. So it's like, okay, I get up, breakfast is ready. I've now got to thing. I do like a, you know, stretches or like yoga and stuff in the morning for at least like 30, 35 minutes. And then it's like, okay, now I can get myself into the computer and, you know, email, whatever, designing. Because before I just roll out and just like, okay, let's just do this thing, you know, not fully there. I think at the time it was like, okay, I really was not doing anything I needed to do, because more or less I just rolled over, opened up YouTube, like, okay, working music. Oh, top 10 anime movies with the best fight scenes. And then it's like, I'm laying, okay, I go back to sleep. I'm up. Damn, it's like 3 o'clock. And I'm just like, well, I can just work through the night, right? And then I stay up till 2 in the morning. And then it's just like that rhythm is just off. And then it kind of reflects, at least for me, like in my running. Like I'm very terrible at keeping pace. But then I also realize it like reflects in my real life. So being able to be like, okay, when I run, I have to keep pace. When I go through my days, I have to keep pace. You know, make sure if I'm going to be working, let's say it's Monday or this week, I want to do Monday, you know, Tuesday, Thursday. Make sure that I take Wednesday, Friday, and like, you know, if I want to do one day on the weekend, whatever. But making sure that I'm focusing on myself too. Because like we mentioned before, like those days where it's like, I really don't want to do this today. I feel like the days I don't give myself time to rest, it rolls over into what I'm going to do for the day. Because it's like sometimes it's like, man, you know, I got this State Farm bill. Man, you know, I really need a new computer. I'm like, before I could have just went to freaking Best Buy and just swiped whatever I wanted. You know, now it's like, okay, it's okay that I'm not. You know, I don't, I might not have it right now. Okay. You know, I can kind of wait on some things. And then it's like, all right, well, let me make sure like today's the day I'm sitting down. Maybe I'll watch Netflix. Maybe I just won't even open a laptop or touch my phone for the day, because I feel like now you're just like so overstimulated by like, I want a computer, you know, I'm on my phone, I'm back on the computer. So making sure I kind of take those breaks. And then also making sure I still have like my social life, like, you know, making sure I'm still interacting with people, because I still have to bring like culturally relevant things, you know, when I'm working, seeing like what people are liking, stuff like that. Because that also builds out the brand. Like if I want to make a soccer kit, like I can't make something lame. I see what all the other, you know, organizations and clubs are doing. It's like I have to be out there to see it versus just being like, all right, well, I'm just gonna kind of just, you know, silo myself and go from there. Which I think has helped me. Like, I feel like at least my self-care side, like there's days that I'm up, there's days that I'm down, but I feel like I have a lot more good days, because I'm taking that time to focus on myself. And I was a big, like, never took PTO guy, like ever. Like I was like, it just never dawned on me until it's like, well, maybe I should go on vacation for a week and maybe my shoulders will stop looking like this all day.
It's
Maybe I
like
can drop them
it's
once.
like I'm not sick. Why would I not be working today?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, it's just a sniffle. That was me. Not saying like I was just like a stickler, but I just always just like, well, what else would I be doing? You know, I want to make sure, you know, I'm not that, you know, I can still, I'm limping now a little bit, but it's like, oh, I could just not get up today and, you know, bring my own stuff. But you know, it's a change. It's a change. Sometimes I don't get cool lunches all the time. So it's like, because I got to pay for them myself. You know, it's not like I got to make sure I got lunch and dinner. So it's like, okay, let's just see what happens.
Did you when you're going out and like looking at like going to the soccer fields, for example, and like maybe sampling kits is not the right word, but just seeing like what's out there for the cultural stuff for the brand. Do you ever does the thought ever enter your head like, oh, this is part of my job. Oh, I don't even want to do this today. Like, even though technically it's not, right? You're going out, but it's like the same thing when I scroll through YouTube or like Instagram, the reels, to see like what songs are trending and what people are doing so I can use it. There's sometimes like I don't even want to scroll, even though people will sit there for hours and scroll because it's like easy to do it. There are some days it's like I don't even want to open this app today. And or it's supposed to be something like even the gym. Like I love working out, but there's some days I'm like, oh, I have to go to the gym because if I don't push the sled today, my knees are going to be killing me tomorrow. And it feels more like a chore than something that I actually like to do, even though I know I like to do it. How do you, does that ever happen to you for those sorts of things? Like, do you ever start to just view every single thing as another task towards like the means to the end? It's like, all right, even my self-care days, it's like I have to recharge so I can work better tomorrow. Do you ever get caught in that?
I think I'm in that now. So like it's just like for example, like being able to I recently went down to Charlotte, North Carolina to go meet a group at the Charlotte Running Company. Which was, great in the end, but in my process of getting there, I drove 7 hours to get there. I don't know what I did the day before, but I definitely was very busy and I just did it off a whim. And I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna do this thing. And like in my mind, like the adrenaline is just firing off. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's gonna be sick. It's gonna be so good. Like it's gonna be cool for the brand and stuff like that. And then it's like I'm 2 hours into the drive and I'm like, why am I doing like I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm literally driving, I'm freaking tired. I don't, it's like this is a task in itself. And then once I got there and really got to like, enjoy the event and meet the people that I want to, it kind of like the task in my mind kind of goes away. And then it kind of is like, I'm really getting to the point now where I need to be more like free flowing. I think before I was just very like you said, gotta get up, gotta eat. If I don't eat, I'm not going to be attentive on the computer. I got to make sure I watch Fallout on Prime. I got to make sure I get my episode in, or if I don't get the episode in, I'm going to be working and watching the TV and it's not going to help. It's kind of like being able to like low key take the weight off. I don't want to sound like super cliche, but it really is taking that off and just like, you know what? I'm going to try to free flow, whether if I am doing something that was a task and turned into free flowing, it's like, okay, let me actually be more present. I think that's what I was trying to get to, like being more present in things. And just seeing how it goes. Like when I went to Charlotte, I was very much in my mind, like, okay, I'm going to wear my stuff. I'm going to talk to this guy. Like we talked before, I'm kind of like contradicting myself, but it happens sometimes. Got to meet this guy. I got to do this. But then, as I was kind of flowing and like meeting people, and we did a run together and stuff like that, it's kind of like, okay, let me not make sure, like, dang, I didn't talk to this guy. Like, it's a failure. It didn't work, or, oh, I didn't get to, bring the samples I brought in my trunk. It's a failure. It didn't work. More or less to being like, okay, let me just kind of see like where the energy is, who can I talk to at the right time? And then it kind of just flows into the conversation. It's like, oh yeah, I run, I'm from Maryland, XYZ. And I also have a brand. You're like, oh, tell me more about that. Versus just like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, I'm here to sell you something. It's kind of, I'm kind of more learning about my relationship building in itself that at least like before it was like a task. I was like, oh, I've talked to this person. I want to be able to do all this stuff. Now it's like, okay, let me get a feel for it. Let me see what's going on, and then kind of go from there. So I'm currently inside of the task, like button switch life. But I think now more or less just kind of taking it in and just filling it out.
Talk to that relationship piece, because I feel like it would be very easy to go meet somebody and say like in your head be like I have to talk to this person so I can get a sale, and it takes away from the authenticity or the connection between like the person to person connection, which is really what makes the sale, I feel like. How do you maintain that while in the back of your head you're like, yeah, Hey, nice to meet you. Also, I have this brand. Oh, nice. Tell me more about that. But in the back of your head, you're still really like, okay, I'm still here to tell you about my brand. Like, I didn't drive all the way here just to go on a run with you. Like, you know what? Like, but how do you like you're sitting there and you're saying in the back of your head, like, okay, when's the right moment to tell this guy about my brand?
We gotta
But
steal something.
yeah, but I still have to make a connection with this person, and you can't jump the gun on it. Ah, that's a running to jump the runner's gun or whatever. But you can't jump the gun on that. So how do you, in the back of your head, still kind of push it aside, understand that that's what you're doing, but at the same time be genuinely interested in what that person is and what they're doing, and make that connection, because people can see through that. You're like, oh, you only asked how I was doing so you could make a sale. You don't actually care how I was doing. And that leads to, well, I don't care about your thing anymore because you weren't authentic. Even though maybe you were, and not to say that it's fake, but it's a fine line and kind of an art and a skill.
It's definitely interesting because, like you mentioned, like I feel like a lot of times it's kind of like the thing on like Twitter and like X and stuff. It's like, would you rather take the dinner with Jay-Z or take like the $500,000? Because it's like, well, if I take the dinner with Jay-Z, he knows, not saying he would, but he knows that's gonna be like, yo, man, I rap and like I do all this stuff, and it's like, okay, like you
Sponsor my next
clearly.
album.
Yeah, it's like, I do all this stuff. Like my boy, he makes beats. Like he'd love to send I'm pretty sure they get that a billion times a day to
Yeah,
the
all
point
the
where
time.
they, yeah. So, it's kind of like, how can you approach it in a way that it's like you're remaining relevant, but you're also still being generally curious. Like if it was me, I would be generally curious to be like, I saw you were at the, Louis Vuitton show, and like, Jay, that watch you had was crazy. Like, what was it? It's a Hublot, whatever. Like, when you're kind of like, getting interest and stuff like that, and then sometimes it's like you hear their problems, and then it's like, okay, well, I actually do this as well. Being able to have what I call like the value exchange, being able to kind of provide it but also seek it as well. Like again, when I went down to Charlotte, there was a guy, I didn't know who he was. I knew he had something to do because he had a booth, so I was like, okay, he obviously is some precedent here. And I learned that he's actually a runner named Reggie McAfee, and he actually ran at the NCAA level. I think he ran under five, like the first under 5 minute mile. So I think he ran it like 4:47. Like he zoomed that thing. I think he went to NC State. And we were kind of talking. He had a book. I bought the book. I was actually reading it. Like, wow, I was actually really curious about this guy. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was so prolific in what he did, running at the collegiate level. And he had a pamphlet on the side that he helps kids get into long distance running and track and field. So I was like, huh, we kind of do the same thing, but his is more like niche. Like, this is what we do. Mine's kind of like any sport that exists. He's very niche with his. And I remember I was looking through it, and I was kind of, doing whatever. I was, I was interested in what he had to talk to me about. And I saw in the back, it was like, oh, volunteers need it. So I was like looking, I'm thinking it's just like, give the kids water cups, after they run. But more or less, it was like, photography, videography, social media management. They needed a like a designer for like their flyers for their meets and stuff like that. And by trade, I'm a designer. I can still do things without it having to be under D17. And we were just talking, and I was telling him, I was like, yeah, like I love these volunteer opportunities. I don't live in North Carolina, but if there's any like remote ones that I could potentially help out with, I'd love to help. That's just me just generally being interested in what he had going on. And then he mentioned something saying like, yeah, like we have, we get about 150 kids a summer, and they need, singlets. They need, you know, the parents want t-shirts, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, I actually have a clothing brand, and I design and I make, you know, apparel. And that's where that relationship kind of began to be fostered. He was like, man, you know, I really, you know, we've been looking for that, and we don't know who to look to. And like, I'd love to be able to work, you know, with a young entrepreneur to be able to, you know, to do that. I was like, yeah, like I, and I was wearing the hoodie, well, the friends and family one. And I was like,
You could show it. Show it on the screen.
yeah, it's kind of hard to see because it's so bright. This is
No, we
the,
got it. It's good.
oh, there you go. Yeah, the complex one. I was wearing the hoodie, and he was like, that's really nice. And I was like, yeah, like I don't do the printing myself, but like I know how to get it done. And that's where that relationship started. So it kind of was like, okay, I got to meet him, you know, being able to understand who he was. He got to meet me, understand who I was. He needed, you know, solution. I brought the solution. So not only did we get, you know, to work together, but also it was like being able, like, I feel like you can't walk in every room and be like, oh, nice to meet you. Like, I'm a clothing designer. You know, they're just gonna be like, okay, who are you? You know, what does that mean to me? I probably have, like I said, 100 people, like Jay-Z, a billion people asking me the same thing. Or it's like, you know, how can I be able to help you? It's like, you can help me, but I also am not expecting the help. Like, I'm not like, well, I helped you. You need to help me. It's more or less just like, how can I just keep, you know, again, back to the task flippy flip thing. How can I keep free flowing and letting things kind of develop on their own, versus just kind of being, you know, super stingy and not being able to kind of see things as they happen in front of you. Because it could be something that is right in front of you, and you're just like, oh, that's not really it. But it's like, well, really, you know, you find out this whole time you've been talking to this person at every race you go to, but you really need to be talking to that person. And how that kind of connect is like, how did I not know? Well, it's like, well, if you didn't come in so strong with this director person, they would have been like, wow, you're so cool. Oh, let me introduce you to, you know, now I know where it goes. You know, now you know where the relationship keeps building. And then it's like, okay, well, now I met this person. And it's like, that's it. How can I help? How can I be of a service? And usually when, you know, you help others, they're like, well, what can I do for you? And then not saying you'd be like, well, actually, you know, I did need $50 so I could put this bet in tonight for the playoffs. But it's more or less just like spreading the kindness and assisting and just letting it gravitate back to you, because and not expecting it. Because you never know when you're going to need it. And then also, which also ties to the self-care thing, you know, being able to seek help and not being afraid to ask it, which is kind of like my own personal thing. Like, I'm real prideful. Like, I don't want to, I just want to put a stone cold face on and not talk about it. But it's like, you know, maybe I actually needed help with, you know, whatever's going on.
Yeah,
Sorry,
that's
my
him.
light
No, you're
went off.
good. Talk about like delegation of response, or maybe not responsibility, but like tasks and different things that you got going on. So you don't do the printing yourself. Obviously, you do the designs, but if you've got a certain vision of how you want things to go, and maybe you got a friend that's helping you, or somebody that you're paying and with Chipotle gift cards or whatever. I don't know. And it doesn't exactly go kind of how you want, maybe, or like, oh, I don't know if I have to do it, if I want it to be done exactly how I want. Like, how did you struggle with that at all, or do you still struggle with that, or how do you kind of get through that sort of situation? Because at a certain point, if you got to go to North Carolina, but you still got to get those sweatshirts printed, and you still got to make sure that photo shoot gets done and the website gets updated and all these other things. Like, you don't have time to do all of it, or maybe not the expertise to do all of it. For example, like, you got stuff on the business side. Like, I'm gonna take a wild guess, and you can tell me if this is totally not true, but people who are on the more creative end of the spectrum usually are not as good with the like taxes, paperwork, like businessy legal side of things. So do you got like somebody helping you out with that, and you got to trust them to make sure that the paperwork's all done so the IRS doesn't come bang down your door or whatever? Like, how has that been for you?
Yeah, I think definitely early on, I was very much like the type, and I feel like a lot of people, you know, whether you make paintings or music or whatever, you're very like, I don't want anyone to see it. This is only for me and mine only. So I definitely was like that before. Over time, you know, as the, you know, you kind of do what you have to do on your own at first to kind of be able to tell others what you're looking to get. I think that's the right way of saying it. Over time, it's like people, at least for me, started to gravitate. Like it's like, oh, I do photography and I'm looking to work with a brand or work with a clothing brand, or someone saying, oh, well, I do, you know, website building. I love to be able to like look at your website and see, you know, what can be fixed or stuff like that. Or somebody's like, hey, I want to get into social media, but you know, I just want to quote unquote like an internship, someone to just watch and shadow to see, you know, how to do this thing right. It's to the point where it's like, okay, like you said, I can't go to North Carolina and I can't sell stuff at the same time, because what if I get an order while I'm gone? And then it's like, what if I don't know when I'm coming back? At least for me, that's where a lot of the trial and error stuff started to come in. Like the manufacturing, being able to like, yeah, I could get a screen printing machine and do 25 shirts. But then it's also like, now we're at the point where it's like, we have to do, you know, 100, 150, you know, 200, because now working with the better or bigger manufacturers, like you want to be on the levels of the, you know, brands and stores and stuff that you kind of were inspired by. But then you also start to get hit with the reality. It's like, well, I can't just make my own Man U inspired kit because Nike ordered 150,000 of them. I really only need like 40, you know. That's like, I think that's a lot, one thing a lot of clothing people run into. It's like, you know, like the minimums and stuff like that. And then also being able to understand, like, this is probably the hardest part, I think, for me, is being able to delegate, but also being able to like not ruin any relationships. So it's kind of like, you know, I really need to do this, but it's like, you know, this person already asked me, or it's like, I don't think this will fit. And like, you're not being mean, but it's also like, you kind of have to be that person to, I don't know if it's like, tell them no, but it's also like, it's just not a fit right now. You know, there's other things that we can work on, but right now it's not a fit. Like, for example, when I was getting some of the hoodies done, I worked with a different person to get them done the first time. The first time it was somebody different. And they came back in a way that it was like, okay, you know, people enjoyed it and stuff like that. So then we did the version two, which was, you know, a whole lot better, you know, better material. Not saying the other one was worse, but like, you know, more refined material, more refined fit, stuff like that, like in the version two. But then I think the first people I worked with, they saw it and they're like, hey, like, when did you get these made? And I was like, well, like 3 months ago, but I didn't call you guys. And then, you know, on their end, they're losing a client. On my end, I can tell them I'm not going to call them anymore. It's like, it's very much like a breakup thing. And then you kind of like, you don't want to ruin that relationship, but it's also like, you can't let it hold you back either. Because it's like, okay, well, they were able to do what I needed to be done at that time. Now I'm at the point where I need to be able to do this at this time at this speed, and even like shipping out stuff. Like before, I was doing most of like the you know, making the labels and stuff like that, taking it to UPS. It got to the point where, one, I was getting pissed at myself because I hated going to UPS because I did not know how to make a freaking label, like, to save my life. I was literally writing them like on post-it notes, like, you know, where to ship it. And then I would go ask to get the label made, and then, you know, obviously they would do it. But then if I had like five orders, I had to like make sure I put like little icons on each one of the boxes to make sure I don't mess this up and somebody gets, you know, the wrong order. And I'm like, okay, well, this one's going here, it's got a one. This one's going here, it's got star, this one's going here. Now the UPS person is pissed off because I didn't mess up all the shipping. I'm already mad because I'm like, I had to carry all this stuff and make sure all this is together. And then thank goodness I bought freaking Label Maker. It's so much easier. And it's like, it was a habit that I was doing for a long time. And now it's like breaking that. It's just like, thank goodness. It's being able to kind of move from there, but it's a lot.
I feel like that's a super difficult thing that a lot of like solo entrepreneurs or very small businesses have. Like if you have a relationship with one, let's say like you got one person that does your printing for you, and then they're like good, but then somebody comes along that they like give you a better offer, or they're faster, or the quality is a little bit better, and then like it's you're working with like one person to do it the first time, and then you gotta work with like one person to do it the second time, and there's no like written contract, but it's like, hey, I'll pay you this much and you give me these 30 hoodies or whatever in this amount of time, and it's like then you gotta do the trust but verify, like one of them's crooked or whatever, and you're kinda like, I don't know, and like
Now it's all, it's very much like,
it's like,
okay.
what do you do? Because there's no like support, contact, help desk, customer service. It's like, no, you go text that person because it's only that one person. They're like, well, sorry, the label thing didn't like, I ran out of ink, or not ink or whatever. You know what I mean?
And that goes back to like the beginning. It's like,
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to curse, but it's like, oh my goodness, like I just spent all this to get this done and it's not correct. But then it's like you kind of can't eat that anymore.
Yeah.
Like you can't eat getting three revisions of something because now that's cost to for the future stuff. And then as well, I always like try to, I forgot the name of the show, but it's always very much like mom and pop style, like stores. Like imagine it's like, you own a store, then it's, you hire your son to be one of the, people that works in the store. It's like, yeah, he cleans the bathrooms, and then you look in the bathroom and it's like all dirty and stuff. And it's like, son, you kind of suck at doing this. It's kind of like being able to do that, but it's also making sure that it's like you have to be able to get yourself in the vision, like you have to innovate something. Like one thing I do, like I do marketing consultations sometimes, and a lot of the problem, not the problem, but being able to trial and error, but also you have to take those risks. Like it's so many businesses that are like I run into that are mom and pop that like the dad will not make social media for the restaurant. And then it's like, huh? It's like you guys don't have a Yelp, a Google review. Can I find you? And I type it on my phone. They're like, we don't need that. We put our address in the paper every week. And it's like, okay, what is, being able to kind of do that and understanding, like, if you're the person that's not letting that happen, like taking that step back and being like, okay, let me trust the people that are doing it. Because obviously they're doing it in good measure. And then also it's beneficial. Like, if you don't have to be able to kind of be like, okay, I have to wear every hat, it's like, how can I manage people not only personally, but also professionally? And then as well, being able to make sure that it's like, okay, maybe I don't have to do this design. Maybe I can work with somebody that can do it. Or if I'm doing, the photos, it's like, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the person I need to work with. Like, it's okay. Like if someone else asks me, it's like, well, let's plan for another project. Right now I have this person doing it, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff coming and other ways. It's like, okay, now we can find medium versus just kind of just shooting it down too. But once again, it's all trial and error. It's like my sister could many on Instagram. Oh no.
Your connection went a little bit. You there?
Am I back?
I can hear you.
Hello.
There you
Oh
go.
no. Okay.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're back. You're back.
Okay. I was
All
so
good.
confused. I was like, what is unstable network?
No, you're good. Talk to kind of the businessy side, learning all like the legal stuff, the taxes stuff, the paperwork stuff. Like if you're hiring somebody, you gotta send them a 1099, or do you pay them a Chipotle gift cards, or Like all that stuff, like forming the business, learning how to do write-offs and different things, and the accounting and all that stuff. Was that a big adjustment for you, or kind of you had already been doing it a little bit, so it was okay? But I guess more of what I'm getting at is going from side hustle to full time. Like obviously you had it as a business before, but then like getting insurance for yourself or paying an
Oh,
employee
jeez.
or that sort of stuff. Like how was that?
At first, definitely was very annoying because I don't know any of this. One thing I've learned, and this is not to knock anything, they don't teach you this. It's so difficult to just kind of go through and, like, how do I get an EIN number? What the heck is an EIN number? What the heck, when I go into the bank, being able to get the accounts made, being able to make sure, like you say, with the tax write-off, what is able to be written off? Do I have all the receipts of it all being written off? Stuff like that. Thankfully, I'm at the point where it's like I don't really do much of the typing anymore. I have that all like outsourced, and even my like trademarks and copyrights and stuff, that was all outsourced because you can do it on your own. I think it only costs like $30 doing your own, like file your own trademark. But like you said, getting it correct, making sure everything is together on time, stuff like that. My attorney that helped me do it, she kind of told me, like, you spend, maybe it's not like seen as like a lump sum, you spend more time putting it off than you do just paying, like, okay, I'm just gonna pay this person, let's say it's $500. I'm gonna pay them $500 to do this. I don't have to do it anymore. They can kind of take it into their hands and then go from there. Cause like, think about it. If it's like year one, I didn't do the trademark, I couldn't do this thing. Year two, I couldn't do the trademark because, I didn't do it year one. Well, I didn't year two, being able to be like, okay, kind of tying it back before with all like the D17 like branches of stuff, you kind of learn like, okay, if I want to do deals or partnerships with other brands, they require you to have these trademarks and stuff, So I could have lost out on all that early on because I was like, well, maybe I don't really need it. And then you find out like, oh, you really did need it. Now it's like, okay, you're kind of playing catch up because it's like, dang, 3 years ago I was getting, an offer. Let's say it's to be on Fortnite, something like that. But they're not just going to be like, hey, just send us a PNG and you're put in the game. You have to be able to kind of go through those steps. Because like we mentioned before, like the manufacturer thing, like now you're kind of stepping into those zones with those like more higher people and bigger kind of operations that it's like they want you to have all your stuff together, not just like, hey, it's whatever. But then it's also like, okay, yeah, we do have an accounting person. Yes, we do have an attorney on file. Yes, we do have someone that's looking at our paid advertising. Yes, we're looking at somebody that's, I call it special projects, like the clothes and stuff that I don't design. Yes, we have somebody doing special projects. So now it's like, okay, when you're kind of stepping in those meetings and with those people, it's like, okay, well, they do have this, they have this. If we are going to do the invoicing, what's a purchase order? What's a net 30? What's a net 60? If I don't necessarily know, it's like, oh, now you can send it to this person and they'll kind of help that. Because there's even been stuff that I've been offered. Like I didn't know what a wholesale order was. Like I knew what it was, but I'm like, what the heck is that? And then someone had to teach me, like, oh, this is what this is. This is how it works. And this is how a lot of businesses stay afloat using that. But if I had knew that at the time, I could have been able to capitalize quicker versus now it took me, let's say, 6 months to figure out what all that was because I took other days to take off and then get back on. Now I didn't figure it out. And it's like, oh, that ship already sailed or on something else now. But, it just takes that time and that, relationship building once again, and then just kind of going from there. But it's definitely a lot. And then making sure you get the right person to do it. It's like, I'm not just gonna like just be like, hey, friend of mine, you want to just manage all my accounting? And then it's like, boom, kind of doing that. And then, geez, so many tie backs. And then tying back, like when I went to Charlotte, Being able like to be surrounded around like other entrepreneurs and stuff like that, it'll kind of give you game too, like stuff that you need, or you know, you thought about this, you thought about this. Oh, did you think about this? Like I recently went to a meeting, it's called Future Forward at a store in Baltimore. It's called Social Status, and they were talking about a vendor store that's in the city that sells products to people or crafters or whatever. They're all based in Baltimore. I'm not based in Baltimore, but you know, they were kind of talking about like, oh yeah, if you want to be able to get into a store, you know, fill this application out, you can do it. But like, if I didn't go to be around the people that know that kind of stuff, I would have never guessed, because like, you could be around like other entrepreneurs. They might be in a different industry than you. Like, they can tell you all the top level stuff, but then when you start to get like real into it, the conversation start changing. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that I could get in store if I just fill out this application that's really available to anybody on the internet, but I didn't know about it. Or even finding a manufacturer, like sometimes you just bump into somebody and they'll just tell you, it's like, yeah, I went here. And then you just go and just do it there. But being able to kind of know like who to be around, like my friends wouldn't have known where to get socks made, custom socks made with custom labels and packaging. They wouldn't know that. But you know, being around like, okay, I'm gonna start to find those people that have the same problems that I do. And you kind of all like start to help each other. But you know, it takes that time to kind of find them, but also being able to put yourself in those spaces for that collaboration and creativity.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like that was a good way to wrap it up a little bit, to be
Ooh.
honest. Full circle. Where can the people find you and the clothing brands and all the stuff that you guys are doing?
Yeah, all my personals are D17 Terrence on every platform that probably exists. And then all the clothes stuff is just d17clothing.com, D17 clothing on all platforms. But you know, if you have Instagram and stuff, shoot me a DM, come find Eric, you know, set it up for round three.
Yeah, 100%. And all those links will be in the description, guys. Go check it out. If you have any further questions, of course, like you said, shoot him a message. Yeah, thanks guys for listening. We will see you guys next time. Peace.
See ya.